Dick and I have come up to Jamestown to Rawhide Meat. We're next to Rawhide Saloon, but not related, and next to Woods Creek Cafe. And we're inside. There's several coolers running. You can probably hear the coolers in the background. This is the retail outlet for Rawhide Meats. Let's start off, Dick. Tell me a little bit about that relationship. The Rawhide processing plant that's just down the road here and the local ranchers and then the retail outlet here.
Well, about 11 years ago now, the UC Extension Farm Advisor got us all together that were interested in those of us that raised beef cattle in Tuolumne County and seeing if there was an interest in us selling our product locally, legally. About that time, the old Rawhide Meats was coming up for sale. And so we talked about it and we found out legally what we could and could not do if we purchased this. And so we went together, the five different outfits, and we purchased it and began being legally able to sell our grass-fed beef here locally. To do that, we had to have it slaughtered or harvested at a USDA facility, which they're few and far between in California. But we did find one in Las Vegas, and that's where we take our animals now when they're of condition that we feel comfortable with and fat enough, because we're not grain feeding these animals. They're grass-fed. We're really paying attention to genetics in our animals so that we get carcasses that have marbled or have intermuscular fat in them without being grain-fed. It's real easy to get fat animal grain-fed, and you can do it in a short period of time. Say, 18 months, that animal is really fat and roly-poly, but in a grass-fed situation, why, it's going to take longer. They grow slower. Consequently, when you buy a grain-fed animal, it may weigh 1,400 pounds, and you get a grass-fed animal, it may only weigh 11 or 12 or 1,300.
That's the same age.
At the same age. So consequently, like maybe our grass-fed steaks aren't maybe as big as the grain-fed steaks that you saw, because those animals grew fast on that grain and developed at a couple hundred pounds heavier than grass-fed steak. Because of mad cow disease, USDA will not accept anything in the grass-fed program that's over 30 months of age. But they base that age on the teeth of a cow, or of a steer, or a heifer. And we all know that our molars didn't necessarily come at 18. If they're 18-year molars, they didn't come necessarily in at 18. They may have come in at age 20, or they may have come in at age 16. So you may take an animal that's 30 months of age, and they say, no, we can't accept it because it's already got teeth that says it's older than that. So we very seldom take an animal in for harvest that's over 24 months of age, because if they determine that they think it's too old, then it gets whole cow prices, which we'd lose money. So the animals are smaller, but we find that there's other benefits too besides that.
Two questions. You said there are five outfits that got together. That's five Tuolumne County ranchers.
Correct. And we have a flyer here at the store that we have that identifies each of those ranches and what their goals and what they're in this program for.
And the other question, specifically, what is the grain?
When we saw corn go to $6 and $7, $8 a bushel, why, they didn't feed as much corn. Now the corn's down below $4 a bushel, grain fed is corn. But there's wheat and barley and oats that can go in there too. Sorghum is another example.
Primarily corn.
Historically, it's been corn.
In your grass-fed program, now how many months old again when ready to take it for harvest? And then what happens after harvest?
Well, up until then, a calf is about a year of age. It could either go to a grain-fed feedlot or stay on the ranch to be grass-fed. If it was going to a grain-fed feedlot, either way, it weighs about, say, 700, 800 pounds. And then it goes to the feedlot, and in 6 months, it's up there 1,400 pounds, and it's harvested. On a grass-fed, it's going to take longer. Right now, in the springtime, these animals may gain as much on grass, 75 to 100 pounds per month, but it's going to take them a while to get up to that, especially once the grass is no longer green and it's dry. It's good feed. They gain on it, but they don't gain at that tremendous rate. So we'll keep these animals 18, 20, 24 months, but we have to sell them, keep our facility in food. So sometimes they get sold when they weigh 1,000 pounds and harvested. Sometimes they get as big as 1,300 or so before they're harvested.
So constant supply to the retail outlet sometimes determines how soon or how late you may harvest one of the calves.
That is correct. What really complicates harvesting these animals is, one, when we have room at our facility out on Rawhide Road, process them, and the other thing that it's tied into is when the slaughterhouse in Las Banas has room. The facility in Las Banas harvests animals from 40 different fairs throughout the state of California. So you have to make sure that you take your animals in when they have room and time, as well as when Rawhide has room and time to keep it there. one of the things that we strive for with our grass-fed program is to make sure that whoever buys that piece of meat has a good eating experience. And to do that, we encourage our people at our facility to make sure that meat hangs in there for 21 days and dry ages for 21 days. Breaks down those tough tissues with enzymes naturally, where if you buy an animal that goes to a regular retail grocery store 8 to 10 days ago, that animal is probably still alive. And as soon as it was processed, it was loaded out of a truck, say in the Midwest maybe, and brought to Los Angeles or San Francisco or shipped to Sonora.
So there's all these logistical elements. There's the weight of the animal. You want it to get as heavy as possible. But then the USDA harvest facility to be available. Rawhide meat processing over here has to have room for the carcass for processing. And then the retail outlet has to have a constant supply of meat. So there's a lot of elements that have to come together there.
Yeah, and people say, well, why don't you have a grass-fed beef that's not frozen? And the only reason is because we have to freeze it so that we can slowly deal it out. Because if I took 10 head in and have harvested, they came here once, there's no way we could keep them on the fresh meat without freezing them or they'd spoil. That would be a total loss.
The day that they're going to be harvested, you select your animals, you take them down to, is it Los Banos?
That's correct.
So you have to drive them down there yourself. How many animals might you take in a day?
We can take 10 head easily in a day.
Then do you have to stay overnight? How long does it take before you bring them back?
No, they'll let us know and say, okay, Tuesday these animals need to go to Los Banos. Okay, we'll get them in a few days before, make sure that we don't stress them when we bring them and handle them. Maybe sit them in the barn lot where they've got either adequate grass. And then Tuesday morning, we'll load them in the trailer and gently take them down to Los Banos. They will stay there for a day, and they will be harvested on Wednesday. Then, once they're harvested on Wednesday, well, they'll stay in an aging facility or a cooling facility, bring those carcass temperatures down to almost freezing, but not quite. And that takes a couple days. Once that's done, then they'll pick them up, load them up in their truck, and they'll deliver them back to our facility on Rawhide Road. And there, they will be placed in cold storage for the rest of that 21 days, for another 19 days or so.
They spend a day on pasture, on grass, at Los Banos. What's the reason you want to keep them calm?
Yeah, anytime you do something different to an animal, you have the ability to stress it. And when you stress it, they may not eat, they may not drink water for a little bit. Take them to Los Banos. They do keep them in pens, but they feed them hay. They make sure they get water. They're just allowed, we call it cooling down sometimes. The more gentle you treat that animal, the less stress that you put on them.
They'll deliver them back to your facility at Rawhide Meat, and they're aged for 19 days, 21 days, and then?
Then they cut them up depending on where that animal ultimately goes. Some of those animals are sold as a whole animal to a family, say a big family, then they'll have it cut to their specifications. If they want 1¼ inch thickness in their steaks, they'll cut them 1¼ inch thick in their steaks. If they want 2 pounds of ground beef in a package, they'll cut them to 2 pounds. Or if they want 1 pound, they can go as quarters to half an animal, to a whole animal, to an individual or say a group of individuals. Or they can cut them here for the retail trade, and then they'll cut them to whatever specs they feel most people want. That's what they'll do. It's really unlimited. Then they freeze them, and once they're pro-solid, well, then the customer can either pick them up there if they're looking at buying a quarter or a half or a whole, or they're kept in frozen and brought in here to the store as the need arises.
Does any of the meat from Rawhide, any of your meat, go to any of the markets, or does it all come here to this outlet?
No, we do take it to a few different places. One, when the farmer's market is running in the summertime in Sonora, they'll go to that. They'll be there on Saturday morning selling our product. I know for a fact Diamondback Restaurant in Sonora handles our ground beef, and for any others at this point in time, I could not say if there's others that are out there doing it. We have a real problem in supplying a restaurant because they don't want necessarily some cuts, they want other cuts, and we don't want to do it if we can't give them a continuous supply. It makes it tough, especially with a small facility. We had our own harvesting facility and our own processing facility that was large enough to handle that. We'd be out there encouraging restaurants to buy our local product.
Tell me about the difficulties with supplying a restaurant.
Well, to go back, we have to harvest through a USDA inspected facility. No problem with that. But then it is brought back to Rawhide Meats for processing, which is a state and local licensed facility and inspected by them. But there is a whole gamut of different regulations depending upon what you do, how you do it, whether you can sell it to, say, a restaurant. But my understanding is we can't deliver it to those people. They have to buy it on site, so they have to send somebody down to get it. That makes it a little tougher. It's just one of those hoops that we have to jump through, or that somebody, in this case the restaurants, have to jump through to pick this up. Since we have our own retail facility, we can sell here. We can sell at our processing plant bulk, but we sell here, and we're here 7 days a week.
And you've got a variety of other products here as well. Did I see some cheese over here in the cooler?
Yeah, we have some organic cheese. We have local beef, we have local lamb, and we have local pork. These are all raised by ranchers in the area. Then we also have meat that we purchase wholesale, and our personnel out of Rawhide Processing smokes it, bacon, they have different bacon products. We've got a very large variety of sausage. Plus we have things like alligator and elk, and those are different types of things that we have. And then on top of that, out of our processing plant, if you need steaks for 35 people or 300 people, they can order them. They won't be local grass-fed, but they'll be quality steak, probably choice. I don't know that we order too much prime because that gets real expensive. Choice is good. We try to stay away from select. One of the advantages we've noticed on our grass-fed beef is because we're fighting that age factor, staying under 30 months, all of our stew meat, stir fry, and different things like that is coming from younger animals, and we get compliments on it. And I'm thinking, well, what do we do different than Safeway or somebody else does? Most stir fry and most stew meat stuff comes from old animals, stuff that may be 10 years old. Ours, because we're trying to meet that requirement 30 months of age, ours is coming from animals that are really less than 2 years old in most cases.
Going back to this grass-fed versus the grain-finished, what is the advantage to the consumer? Are there advantages to the grass-fed over the grain-fed? Is it a matter of preference? What is the distinction between grass-fed and grain-fed?
Well, as you and I were talking earlier, it's really important that we as producers of grass-fed beef watch our genetics. And that's why, for instance, my brother and I, we try to use what they call English traits, which are three basic species out of Great Britain. There's Angus, there's Hereford, and there's Shorthorn. And all three of those are what we call easy marbling breeds. Those breeds will put a larger percentage of intermuscular fat or marbling in a piece of meat without putting a gross amount of excess fat on the outside of the animal, between the skin and the muscle. And consequently, they're a little better eating experience for most people than if you went out and bought, say, Texas Longhorn or something that didn't marble real easy. Grain-fed beef has always got a tremendous amount of marbling on those same breeds, but they also have more waste too. They have to trim off, you know, when they got an inch of fat on the outside of the carcass, why, you don't want to buy that. They cut it off, but you paid for it whether it's there or not. The butcher takes off, but he's still got to put it in on his bottom line and make sure there. And one of the things that's changed in the beef industry in the last 50 years is they used to pay us for that trimmed off fat. Today we have to pay somebody to take it.
I want to go out and look in the coolers and see what you got here. You got some good grass-fed hamburger here in one of these coolers, don't you?
Yes.
Okay. And some local cheese as well.
Right.
All right. Yeah, I saw quite a variety of meats you mentioned, even alligator meat. And where did they get the alligators?
Alligator comes someplace out of Louisiana, and it's not a big seller. But we do have interesting, and we have Polish people that love to come in and get our Polish sausage. We have this organic chicken that we sell that comes out of Sonoma County, very popular. Our personnel do some marinated chicken that is very good, different flavors. We have marinated baby back ribs that are to die for. You know, there's some elk, there's some venison, rabbit, and anything that a person really wants, they can be ordered. A lot of those frozen things are prepackaged to come in, but they're a little more exotic. You're not going to find them at your regular grocery store. Our people are really great at, if you want some quail, you'll find just some quail. It's not going to be real cheap when you just order a few animals. That's the one thing about the rabbits. It would be nice to have a local rabbit producer, but you still got to go through a USDA facility. But when you just order five rabbits, which may be the minimum order, they do get a little pricey.
So for local meat, specifically Tuolumne County grass-fed beef, this is the place to go.
This is it. We got local grown pork and lamb. It's quality stuff, and people want to know where their animals come from, and it's printed right on there. We're not the lamb so much because we use people in Calaveras to grow that, so it comes in dry. But one of the owners that is a producer of that animal, it's right on that ranch label, right on that label, so you know whose animal, whose beef you're eating. And we have ranch fresh eggs.
Really?
Free range.
A lot of people have asked me where to find eggs. Now I know.
Sometimes you don't get here before 12 o'clock, there aren't any.
That doesn't surprise me. Well, I'm going to look around, see what you got in here. I'm sure I'm going to take home at least some hamburger, maybe some steak, maybe even a little bit of alligator. Thanks, Dick.
Yes.
And you are not related to the people at the Rawhide Saloon, are you?
Nothing I'm aware of.